Now, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their tents. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Today we read in 1 Kings chapter 12 of the kingdom split, the split of the nation of Israel into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And yet there is a promise in Amos chapter 9 that one day the fallen tent of David, the tabernacle of David that had fallen, would one day be raised up, as it is written in Amos 9, verse 11. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it, as in the days of old. This ancient split of the nation of Israel into two parts will one day be healed and restored. Listen in as we unpack this. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 13th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in one year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 7, 41 to 89. On the sixth day, it was the chieftain of the Gadites, Eliasaph, son of Deuel. His offering, one silver bowl, weighing 100 shekels, and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight. Bowl filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense. One bull of the herd, one ram and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering. One goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Eliasaph, son of Deuel. On the seventh day, it was the chieftain of the Ephraimites, Elishama, son of Ammihud. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels, and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight. Both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense. One bull of the herd. One ram and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering. One goat for a sin offering. And for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Elishama, son of Ammihud. On the eighth day, it was the chieftain of the Manassites, Gamaliel, son of Pedasur. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight. Both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense. One bull of the herd, one ram and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering. One goat for a sin offering. And for his sacrifices of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. On the ninth day, it was the chieftain of the Benjamites, Abidan, son of Gideon. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels, and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense. One bull of the herd, one ram, and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering. One goat for a sin offering. And for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Abidan, son of Gideon. On the tenth day, it was the chieftain of the Danites, Achiezer, son of Ammishaddai. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense, one bull of the herd, one ram and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, one goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Achiezer, son of Amishaddai. On the 11th day, it was the chieftain of the Asherites, Pagiel, son of Ochran. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense, one bull of the herd, one ram, and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, one goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Pagiel, son of Ochran. On the 12th day, it was the chieftain of the Naphtalites, Akira, son of Enon. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight, bowl filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering, one gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense, one bull of the herd, one ram, and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, one goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five yearling lambs. That was the offering of Akira, son of Enon. This was the dedication offering for the altar from the chieftains of Israel upon its being anointed. Silver bowls, 12. Silver basins, 12. Gold ladles, 12. Silver per bowl, 130. Per basin, 70. Total silver of vessels, 2,400 sanctuary shekels. The 12 gold ladles filled with incense, 10 sanctuary shekels per ladle. Total gold of the ladles, 120. Total of herd animals for burnt offerings, 12 bulls of rams, 12 of yearling lambs, 12. With their proper meal offerings of goats for sin offerings, 12. Total of herd animals for sacrifices of well-being, 24 bulls of rams, 60. Of he-goats, 60. Of yearling lambs, 60. That was the dedication offering for the altar after its anointing. When Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with him, he would hear the voice addressing him from above the cover that was on the top of the ark between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. First Kings 11, 1-12, 19. King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Phoenician, and Hittite women, from the nations of which Hashem had said to the Israelites, "None of you shall join them, and none of them shall join you, lest they turn your heart away to follow their gods." Such Solomon clung to and loved. He had 700 royal wives and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. In his old age, his wives turned away Solomon's heart after other gods, and he was not as wholeheartedly devoted to Hashem his God as his father David had been. Solomon followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Phoenicians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was displeasing to Hashem and did not remain loyal to Hashem like his father David. At that time, Solomon built a shrine for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill near Jerusalem, and one for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he did the same for all his foreign wives who offered in sacrifice to their gods. Hashem was angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from Hashem, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him about this matter, not to follow other gods. He did not obey what Hashem had commanded. And Hashem said to Solomon, "Because you are guilty of this, you have not kept my covenant and the laws which I enjoined upon you. I will tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants." But For the sake of your father David, I will not do it in your lifetime. I will tear it away from your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give your son one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." So Hashem raised up an adversary against Solomon, the Edomite Hadad, who was of the royal family of Edom. When David was in Edom, Joab, the army commander, went up to bury the slain, and he killed every male in Edom. For Joab and all Israel stayed there for 6 months until he had killed off every male in Edom. But Hadad, together with some Edomite men, servants of his father, escaped and headed for Egypt. Hadad was then a young boy. Setting out from Midian, they came to Paran and took along with them men from Paran. Thus they came to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, assigned a food allowance to him, and granted him an estate. Pharaoh took a great liking to Hadad and gave him his sister-in-law, the queen Tahpanhes, as his wife. The sister Tahpanhes bore him a son, Genubath. Tahpanhes weaned him in Pharaoh's palace, and Genubath remained in Pharaoh's palace among the sons of Pharaoh. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David had been laid to rest with his fathers, and that Joab, the army commander, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Give me leave to go to my own country." Pharaoh replied, "What do you lack with me that you want to go to your own country?" But he said, "Nevertheless, give me leave to go." Another adversary that Hashem raised up against Solomon was Rezon, son of Eliada, who had fled from his lord, King Hadadezer of Zobah. When David was slaughtering them, he gathered men about him and became captain over a troop. They went to Damascus and settled there, and they established a kingdom in Damascus. He was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon. Adding to the trouble caused by Hadad, he repudiated the authority of Israel and reigned over Aram. Jehoram, son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zereda, the son of a widow whose name was Zeruah, was in Solomon's service. He raised his hand against the king. The circumstances under which he raised his hand against the king were as follows. Solomon built the Millo and repaired the breach of the city of his father David. This Jeroboam was an able man, and when Solomon saw that the young man was a capable worker, he appointed him over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. During that time, Jeroboam went out to Jerusalem, and the Navi Achiah of Shiloh met him on the way. He had put on a new robe, and when the two were alone in the open country, Achiah took hold of the new robe he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. "Take 10 pieces," he said to Jehoram, "for thus said Hashem, the God of Israel, I am about to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hands, and I will give you 10 tribes. But one tribe shall remain his for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. For they have forsaken me. They have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Phoenicians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the Ammonites. They have not walked in my ways or done what is pleasing to me or kept my laws and rules as his father David did. However, I will not take the entire kingdom away from him, but will keep him as ruler as long as he lives for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose, and who kept my commandments and my laws. But I will take the kingship out of the hands of his son and give it to you, the 10 tribes. To his son I will give one tribe so that there may be a lamp for my servant David forever before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to establish my name. But you have been chosen by me. Reign wherever you wish, and you shall be king over Israel. If you heed all that I command you, and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, keeping my laws and commandments as my servant David did, then I will be with you, and I will build for you a lasting dynasty, as I did for David. I hereby give Israel to you. And I will chastise David's descendants for that sin, though not forever." Solomon sought to put Jehoram to death. But Jeroboam promptly fled to King Shishak of Egypt, and he remained in Egypt till the death of Solomon. The other events of Solomon's reign and all his actions and his wisdom are recorded in the book of the Annals of Solomon. The length of Solomon's reign in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David, and his son Rehoboam succeeded him as king. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to acclaim him as king. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, learned of it while he was still in Egypt, for Jeroboam had fled from King Solomon and had settled in Egypt. They sent for him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam as follows. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke which your father laid on us, and we will serve you. He answered them, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. King Rehoboam took counsel with the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. He said, what answer do you advise me to give to this people? They answered him, if you will be a servant to those people today and serve them, if you will respond to them with kind words, they will be your servants always. But he ignored the advice that the elders gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. What, he asked, do you advise that we reply to the people who said to me, lighten the yoke that your father placed upon us? And the young men who had grown up with him answered, speak thus to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, now you make it lighter for us. Say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. My father imposed a heavy yoke on you, and I will add to your yoke. My father flogged you with whips, but I will flog you with scorpions. Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, since the king had told them, come back on the third day. The king answered the people harshly, ignoring the advice that the elders had given him. He spoke to them in accordance with the advice of the young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father flogged you with whips, but I will flog you with scorpions. The king did not listen to the people, for Hashem had brought it about in order to fulfill the promise that Hashem had made through Achia, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, we have no portion in David, no share in Yishai's son. To your tents, O Israel, now look to your own house, O David. So the Israelites returned to their homes. But Rehoboam continued to reign over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the forced labor, but all Israel pelted him to death with stones. Thereupon, King Rehoboam hurriedly mounted his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. Thus, Israel revolted against the house of David, as is still the case. Acts 9, 1 to 25. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority for the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down the wall in a basket. Psalm 131, 1-3. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Proverbs 17:4 and 5. A wicked doer gives heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. I want to speak to you today from our reading from 1 Kings chapter 12, and this basically is giving us an outline of the very first church split, fellowship split. It was a major division in the kingdom of Israel. So when David was the king and he ruled and he reigned, they were one united kingdom. But because Solomon strayed from God, the God of Israel, and he had so many wives and so many concubines, and he started following all these false gods, Molech and Ashtoreth, and this was very detestable to the Lord. He said, I'm not going to do this during your lifetime, but I will do this in your son's lifetime, and during the time of Rehoboam, your son. The kingdom is going to be divided. And so there's a prophetic action that occurs. A prophet comes and meets up with Rehoboam on the road, and basically he tears a robe and says, or he meets up with Jeroboam on the road, and he tears a robe and says, I'm going to be, thus says the Lord, I'm going to give you 10 of the 12 tribes, and you're going to be the king and the leader of those 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. And that northern kingdom will be called Israel. But in chapter 12, verse 32, one tribe shall remain his, shall remain under the rulership of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. For the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. And going on in verse 36, to his son, that is Rehoboam, I will give one tribe, and that one tribe is Judah, or the Jews, so that there may be a lamp for my servant David forever before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to establish my name. So you could make a parallel case that the northern kingdom, also known as the House of Israel, could be compared to the Gentile world, the Gentile believers in Jesus, to the Christians. And you could make a comparison that the southern kingdom, also known as the House of Judah or the Jews, that this could be parallel to the world of Judaism, to the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews. And so we see this tremendous split. The people approach Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and say, hey, your dad gave us a heavy burden and we had heavy taxes to pay. If you would just lighten up our load and lower our taxes, we would be ever so grateful to you. So when Rehoboam consults with the elders, they tell him very wise advice. They say to him, if you will be a servant to those people today and serve them, and if you'll respond to them with kind words, they will be your servants always. So they were giving him a biblical principle. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be a servant. If you're in a leadership role, you are to serve those who are in your jurisdiction. But instead, Rehoboam listened to the advice of his peers, and he came back to the people and said, oh, you think my father put a heavy burden on you? Watch me. I'm going to raise your taxes. Your burden's going to get even heavier. And so in verse 16, when all of Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, we have no portion in David, no share in Ishai's son. To your tents, O Israel. Look to your own house, O David. So the Israelites returned to their homes. And in Amos, it talks about the fallen tent or the fallen tabernacle of David. The very first temple, the temporary tent tabernacle, was in Shiloh. And it wasn't this big fancy palace that Solomon built. It was like just a tent in Shiloh. But in Shiloh, where David had this tabernacle, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of worship. Worship and prayer was being lifted up constantly and continuously. But it talks about in Amos about how the fallen tent of David would one day be raised up again. So again, if you take a look at this kingdom split between the northern and the southern kingdom, you could compare that to the huge division and split that has been there for centuries between Jews and Christians. And there's been persecution, there's been pogroms and crusades, and horrible things have been done against the Jews in the name of Christ over the centuries. And much of mainstream Christianity doesn't know of this bloody history. But mark my words, the Jews know this bloody history. They remember it every year on the 9th of Av. So this is a unique time that we're living in, because this is a time in the last 10 years, just in the last 10 years, that there has been an intentional, purposeful building of bridges between Jews and Christians. There are some very remarkable Orthodox Jews and remarkable Christians who are doing the work of building those bridges of friendship and trust and service and support between the Jews and the Christians. And so when you think about a tent, one time I went camping and my son had borrowed my tent and then he returned it to me. So I packed it up, threw it in the trunk of the car, took off to go to my campsite. And, you know, it was about an hour and a half drive out of town. I got to my campsite, brought the tent out, and guess what? There were no poles. And when you buy a tent, you can't just buy poles only. You buy a whole new tent. and you cannot raise a tent without poles. A tent without poles is worthless. And if you have poles but no tent, that's worthless too. You need the two to come together, the poles and the tent, to make a tent. And so you could consider this is like a parable that the two kingdoms separate are incomplete. But when you bring the two kingdoms together through building bridges, Jews and Christians, it's like the tent and the poles finally reunite. And the fallen tent of David, that tent of harp and bowl, worship and prayer, that has been fallen for centuries, finally gets raised up once again. And what I find very encouraging is that there have been several initiatives just in the last couple of years where Jews and Christians come together on the same platform to pray. They pray over Israel and over the war that's going on and over the IDF and over the widows who've lost loved ones in this war. And they find the ground that they have in common rather than focusing on what their differences are. So these are just some thoughts I wanted to share with you concerning this kingdom split. And because ultimately, when Yeshua, Jesus, returns and he restores all things and he brings about tremendous redemption, eventually, it says in Romans chapter 11 that there will be a time coming when all Israel will be saved. And so our Jewish brothers and sisters are part of the family of God. We're in the same family, Jews and Gentiles, the one new man. So how the Lord works that all out is a mystery, but it's an honor and a privilege to have some small part to play in the building of bridges and the taking down of the walls that have for so long divided Jews and Christians. Have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Vishmereka Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayaseh Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.